Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road and Pastor Jay Warner, a production of His Will Ministry. This is Brother Scott Adams, the director of His Will Ministry. Our mission is to encourage you to keep your eyes upon Jesus, to serve you by teaching the Word of God, the building up of the body of Christ, and to equip the saints. And it's just a privilege to be able to share Pastor's teaching with you, and we pray for that you'll be blessed and built up in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name.
Good evening. I would like to talk to you tonight about what I tend to call a hard teaching. It's one of those teachings that you just don't particularly want to hear, you just don't particularly like. But it's one of the truths, or as I like to call them, the truisms of the Bible. Death to self. Have you ever noticed, looking around, how selfish our society has become? We have gone from a society of loving one another, caring for one another, doing as Jesus said, giving to someone a glass of water that's thirsty, to someone that's hungry, food, to someone that's naked, your coat, to visiting people in prison, to visiting the sick. We've gone to the my generation. We need to get back to where we belong as Christians. And if we want to get back to where we belong, the first thing we have to do is die to self. Let's look tonight at Romans chapter 12, just verse 1 and 2. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now this again is two parts in this verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you, I beg you, I ask you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. How many of us are even anywhere near that point in our lives? How many of us are anywhere near getting to the point where we can honestly look in the mirror and say to ourselves, let alone say to the Father in heaven or Jesus, but just to ourselves, I am presenting a holy and acceptable sacrifice? It's kind of quiet out there, but then again, it's quiet in here. Because I'll be honest, as a pastor, there are times that even I am not totally holy and acceptable to the Lord. I have to continually ask Him to cleanse me, to keep me holy, to teach me, to guide me, to bring me through His scriptures to the point where He wants me in my life to work for Him. I have nothing to do with it. I cannot, you cannot, period. Make yourself holy and acceptable to God. There is nothing, there is no work you can do, there is no sacrifice you can make, there is no tithe you can give, there is no seed you can sow that is going to make you holy and acceptable to God. There is only one way to do it, and that is through the help of Christ Jesus. He gives us salvation. He teaches us sanctification. He helps us become holy and acceptable. But the part that I love, which is always the hard part, is the last part of that verse, which is your reasonable service. You get what he's saying here? When you're talking to someone and you get in a heated argument, a disagreement. Many times you'll go to a friend and the friend will intercede between you and you will come to a reasonable agreement. Not something that's too hard for you to do or something that's too hard for the other person to do. See, Paul is telling us here that that is a reasonable service to God. It is not something that you're not capable of doing with His help. It's not something so overwhelming that you can't do it. It is reasonable. And that's what He uses that word there for. It is reasonable. It is a reasonable request. It is a reasonable expectation. It is easy if. You notice the if. I always used to say as a kid when my mom would say that, Jay, if. And I always knew it was coming, the dreaded if. But here it's not dreaded. It is easy if we let Jesus do it for us. You can't make yourself holy. You can't even make yourself acceptable to God. Most of us human beings have a hard time making ourselves acceptable to other human beings. And they have the same faults as we do. But we can make ourselves holy and acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. The second part of this verse series here, verse 2, gives us part of the key. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the word here in the Greek for world means age. He says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's stop right there. How are you going to renew your mind? Are you going to renew your mind by doing yoga? Are you going to renew your mind by going to the gym? Are you going to renew your mind by furthering your education and maybe getting that master's degree you've always wanted? Are you going to renew your mind by watching the Super Bowl? Are you going to renew your mind by watching television? Are you going to renew your mind by reading the paper for the day and the news? No. There's only one way to renew your mind. That is through the Word of God. Paul tells us, think on these things that are good and holy and respectable. The Word of God is the living Word of God. Every answer you'll ever need is in the book, the Bible. And if you don't understand it, God will help you understand it. Now don't, if you're a new Christian, go out and start reading the book of Revelation and expect all of God's answers to be there. Back up, start in the four Gospels and read about the life of Jesus and the teachings that He had. Renew your mind by, A, first, most important, daily, being in the Word of God. There is nothing more important to the growth spiritually of a Christian than being in the Word of God. Because that, as I like to call it, is the manufacturer's handbook. God gave it to us, and it's our owner's manual. And come on, guys, I know you don't like reading owner's manuals. You get that new VCR, and you'll take an hour and a half to figure out how to program it when you could read the manual and do it in 5 minutes. That's the way us guys are. Now, women, no, they'll sit down and they'll study that before they'll even open the box and go into it. But us guys, uh-uh. We get a new toy for our children with 4 million parts in it. We know how to assemble it without the instructions. That's not the way life works. You want to know how to renew your mind? You want to know how to live as a Christian? You better be in God's Word every single day. If you're not there, you're missing out. My mom, I always used to get such a kick out of her. She always told me she was going to sell me to the toy factories. Because as a kid, I was the typical kid. I liked to take things apart and see what made them work. But I was different in that I took things apart, saw how they worked, put them back together. They still worked when I put them back together, but mysteriously, I always had spare parts. Now, don't ask me how I did this, but every toy, everything I ever took apart as a kid, when I put it back together, it worked just as well as it did when I took it apart. But now, I had extra pieces. So my mom, being a mother, not understanding a boy, She said that she was going to sell me to the toy factories, that they would make millions off of me because I could save them from putting all these extra parts in. Well, praise God she never did, or I'd be in some toy factory working on toys right now instead of preaching to you. The next part says that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You ever wondered how you're going to do that? How you're going to get down there and you're going to prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God? Has it ever hit your mind to think, hey, wait a minute. He's saying I can't be conformed to this world, but I've got to be transformed by renewing of my mind. And that way, I'm going to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, if you're renewing your mind by being in God's word, you will know what the will of God is for your life. You won't be running around lost. You won't be hidden. You won't be concerned. You will know what the will of God is for your life. You will know how to act in your life. You will know how to go forward with your life. You will know how to grow in your life. You will have a grasp on things so much clearer than you do now if you aren't in the Lord's word. Let's look what Luke tells us. He's reciting what Jesus said in chapter 9, verse 23. He's telling us, Jesus that is, what we need to do with our lives and how to handle them. If anyone desires to come after me, verse 23, chapter 9, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes to his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. That verse is so scary to me. But we'll get to it in a minute. Let's go back up to 23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever so loses his life for my sake shall save it. Jesus is telling us about death to self. We have to learn to let go. To let go of our problems, to let go of our troubles, to let go of our health worries, our financial worries, and give them to the Lord and follow Him. Many people tell them when they read that, they say, well, you have to take up the cross. You have to have a burden. You have to give up everything. You have to be crushed, mutilated, destroyed for Jesus if you want to be part of Him. That's not what He's saying here. He says, take up his cross daily and follow me. The cross is representative of Jesus. Do we stand for him? Or when we're around with our friends at the office and it's coffee break time and they're talking about the latest R-rated or X-rated show, do we sit there and oogle and stare and not let Jesus through? When we're working out somewhere in the fields, and the conversation turns to something that's inappropriate for a Christian, do we say, excuse me, but I don't want to talk about that? Or do we just listen and take it? Do you take up your cross and follow Jesus? Or do you hide? For he says in verse 26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes to his own glory and in his Father's house, and of the holy angels. The gist of that verse means that if you deny Jesus, Jesus will deny you before the Father and the angels. He will deny you being His. That's, to me, one of the more scary verses. If you flippantly deny Jesus, He will deny you. We rely on our Savior and Lord, Christ, who died on the cross, was buried and resurrected for our salvation. There are no works that will get you there. The only thing that can get you there is Christ Jesus and believing upon Him and then living a holy, righteous life. But think what is going to happen for those people. Those people that daily deny Christ, whether they deny Christ by their actions, by their perversions, by their lies, by their mouths, and it doesn't matter whether they're a pastor, a teacher, a common person on the street, Jesus says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes to his glory." The translation means, whoever denies me, I will deny him. One of my favorite sayings was said by a pastor one time, "I don't care whether you believe in hell, God does, and you're going if you don't believe in Jesus." And there's no more truth to that than anything else. Hell is real. And if we don't get our acts together and follow Jesus, die to self, and serve Him the way He says we should serve Him, we are going to be in trouble. The time is short. Oh, many people say, "Oh, the apostle said 2,000 years ago we were in the last days." Well, the last days started when Jesus rose out of the grave and ascended to heaven. But if you study Bible prophecy, you will see that more prophecies are being fulfilled faster than have ever been fulfilled in the history of mankind. What did Jesus say? "They shall come upon you as birth pains." If you've ever been around a woman that's in birth pains, I'll tell you what, they start out real slow, but just before that baby's birth, those pains are coming fast and hard and painful. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Prophecies will start to be fulfilled slowly. Things will start to happen slowly. And then they will accelerate and accelerate and accelerate. Let's look in 2 Timothy 3:15. Give us an idea. Or actually, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 5. Can't read my handwriting. Getting old. "But know this, that in the last day perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away." I don't know about you, but that was written 2,000 years ago almost. And that pretty well describes where we are right now. We're in perilous times. And men have become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents. Look at the juvenile delinquency rate right now in this country. It's never been higher. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Look around you. People do things today that we never would have considered 10 years ago. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn around and turn away. Or, as a pastor friend of mine used to say, put your hat on and run. Look at the churches you're dealing with today. Most mainstream congregations have no power. I was reading an article today about one of the largest churches in the country. It's a blessed church, they believe. They're building enough room for 35,000 people on a Sunday morning. But you know what? You go into their church, you won't find a cross. You won't hear sin mentioned. You won't hear the blood of Jesus mentioned. You won't hear holiness mentioned. You won't hear repentance mentioned. You hear a happy gospel that Jesus loves you. You hear a great gospel that Jesus wants you to have that Mercedes-Benz. You don't hear the truth. Holiness, holiness, holiness. Be ye transformed, not conformed to this world. You don't hear that in this church. And they have close to 35,000 members because why? It's a very unpopular message. The truth. The truth is God isn't doing a new thing. The truth is God still wants you and I to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, separated, different. When you go to work tomorrow, will they see someone different? Or will you fit in with the rest of the crowd? That's only you can answer that question. But the only way for you to reach where Jesus wants you to be is death to self. As long as you're in the way, Jesus can't do anything. As long as your heart is closed to letting Jesus get in there and clean out the dross, he can't do anything. It's not that God is powerless. It's that God is respectful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul tells us, "For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness." It's something you don't hear preached anymore. It saddens my heart that we have grown so weak and tired as Christians that most churches are nothing more than entertainment. People go in and they get a happy sermon. They get beautiful music. And they leave no different than when they walked in. Monday morning, they go into their world, their jobs. And you can't tell the difference. You can't see the difference. What's wrong? Where did we fail? God didn't fail us. We have failed him. If we look at the early church, the New Testament church, strived for holiness. They strived for the power to be back in. They strived to be different. I was asked this question just this weekend. Would I wait in the upper room for 10 days in the hopes of having the power of God and the Holy Spirit come down upon me? And immediately my answer was yes, without a second thought. And I ask you the same question tonight. Would you wait 10 days in the upper room? Would you fast 10 days for the Lord to come upon you? Would you cleanse yourself, die to self, so that the world sees Jesus in you? Not Bob, not Jill or Mary, not even Pastor Jay, but Jesus. Jesus. That's what it's all about. If you wear the name of Christian, you wear Christ's name. And you have no right but to live a life any way but holy. I grew up on the black sheep side of my family. Because my dad and his brothers had a falling out, my side of the family was always the black sheep. We weren't really mentioned. I was the only Warner son left to carry on the name. And our side of the family was so much of a black sheep because of the feud between my father and his brothers that one of his brothers had his daughter marry a man named Warner to pretend they carried on the name. We don't have to be black sheep as Christians. We are sons of the Most High God. Jesus even said in John, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because a servant doesn't know what his master is going to do, and you do. Don't let that go. You are a friend of Jesus. You're a son of God, because Jesus took you in his arms on the cross, and he took your sins off your back, and he wiped it clean. He wiped that slate clean. Don't lose it. Don't give it up. Don't become conformed to this age of perversion, this age of sickness. Don't. Please don't. Turn. Turn. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but to holiness. Be ye transformed from this world, not conformed. Take up your cross daily for Jesus. We are in the last days. Just read 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 again. Honestly, read it again and tell me we're not in the end days.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast of Where the Rubber Meets the Road, brought to you by His Will Ministry, where we are dedicated to doing the works that Jesus did and even greater works. I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor at His Will Ministry. Please visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org or write to us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. I hope you were abundantly blessed by today's message, and I pray that you will put Jesus above all things in your life. May God bless you. Please feel free to share today's message with others.